WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Democrats remain away from their state in protest against attempts by the Republican majority in the state legislature to redraw congressional districts. They've been threatened with arrest, CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reports.
Even though Governor Greg Abbott said that he wants to use Texas law enforcement, they really don't have jurisdiction outside of Texas. So they're kind of in this wait-and-see mode.
Violent crime in the U.S. fell 4.5% last year, according to a new FBI report. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter fell nearly 15% in 2024. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Good news for law enforcement, and it comes amidst a slew of very high-profile crimes.
A preventable disaster, that according to a Coast Guard report on the Titan sub that imploded on its way to the Titanic. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Five people were killed in the June 2023 implosion. The Coast Guard Marine Board blames OceanGate's inadequate design, certification, maintenance, and inspection process for the Titan.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tolmay Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer when we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius. So, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay. You're listening to WXCO 98.9 FM Wausau. Real news and great conversation.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, lows upper 50s to 60. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around, a high around 80. Storm chances gradually increase later Wednesday night and on into Thursday. Currently at 79.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Melissa Baldoff has our climate check, along with a guest from Wisconsin conservation voters on President Trump's denial of basic science.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
You don't have to collect. It's on me, folks. Get your daily news here. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Welcome back. We are kicking off Act 2 on this outstanding Tuesday Wisconsin summer night. My guest at the moment is Chris Rogowski. We will get back to Chris in just a minute. He is the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography, and a local musician and photographer. So we'll jump back into that. Rob Thomas is here at 7:20 talking movies and what we can still expect at the box office as the summer goes on. And we're going to talk to Rob about his take on strip mall bars and see what Rob has to say, because he wrote a cool piece for CityCast Madison. Our question of the night, folks, is in honor of National Fresh Breath Day, which I didn't even know existed, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Do you tell them? Do you suffer through it? Do they wonder why you're crying? What happens, folks? Let us know. Be part of the show. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad has told me I have amazing breath. We don't usually get that close. There's usually glass between us, but, you know, it holds up for the most part. I went off on a Tiger Woods rant from my stand-up days. It was crazy. I haven't done that joke in ages, and I kind of laid it out there, Chris, like it was just conversational, but it was from the stand-up act, so I apologize.
Oh, wow, I would have never guessed.
If that was too overt. Oh, good. I'm glad it sounded conversational. Tom from New Berlin says, worst breath is your friend has pounded too many beers down, and you're coming to the party later, and you get yeast bomb.
Ooh.
Yeast bomb there, overserve them to be insulted on their breath. Yes, I'm with you, Tom. I know that smell. Tom says, yes, a photo is worth a thousand words. And that, of course, is in reference to our current guest, Chris Rogowski. Daniel from Menasha, he's in the 920. He says, you just have to slowly remove that person from your life. Offering a mint will only hurt their feelings. That's true. And it's a quick fix. That's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I like where Daniel's going with that. And I've seen Daniel's work. Remember when he came in here and he had that horrifying mask?
Yeah.
He might have some shallow graves in his backyard. I'm not making accusations. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me. Jim from Appleton, he's in the 920. He says the proper passive-aggressive response to bad breath from someone else is to carry smelling salts to sniff after they breathe on you. Ooh. To clear the smell from your nostrils. Sounds like Jim's got some experience there. Tom from Jackson says the bird seed. Do you know what that means?
Is that something to help your breath?
Eat bird seed? I'd rather have bad breath, honestly.
I mean, it's like the spicy bird seed, maybe.
Do people eat that?
I don't know. It keeps the squirrels away.
Okay. All right. Noted. Chris, I'm so glad you're here for reasons other than that. But we are starting Act 2 here. And Chris Rogowski is here. He's the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography here in Green Bay. And he is a local musician and photographer. So You have a photojournalist background. Is that a different kind of photography than, you know, say something like, do you ever, let's start here. What is your favorite thing to shoot? If you have one.
That's a good question. Years ago, it would have been bands. And it still is bands. But I think my favorite thing to shoot is whatever I'm getting in the moment.
Okay.
I know that's really ethereal, but I don't really have a favorite per se. You know, some people really specialize in one thing. And like I said before, the beat thing. So I just like whatever's in front of me usually.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Do you ever go out seeking to shoot things? Like it's a kind of a hazy night. Maybe I could get a good sunset or sunrise or people frolicking on the beach or something like that.
I have done that. When I first started in photography, I was big into nature and sunrises and stuff. So I'd always go to get the sunrises and sunsets and things like that and nature things. But, you know, ever since being in photography full time, like I don't go out intentionally now these days because I need a break from the camera.
Sure.
Usually at least.
And you do commercial stuff too,
yeah,
which keeps you busy, probably pays the bills.
A little bit more than free.
Yeah, right. And so have you ever captured anything where it's like, it just happened and you're like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Has that ever happened like unintentionally where you've captured a really cool shot?
Yeah, actually we were in India and I captured this scene outside. We were in the bus and doing on this tour and I captured the scene of three guys with a newspaper all reading it. And then immediately I was watching them as we were going by. They looked up and they looked at each other and they started laughing. And it was this like beautiful image of,
oh wow,
you know, not something you'll ever get again. And I think that's to your point about photojournalism. Like that's really what I aim for, is that moment you will never get again.
Yeah.
And then not editing it. You know, what you see is what you get, other than, you know, make upping the contrast or something. But I hate post work. I absolutely hate it. If I can avoid it, I will.
All right. So that was my next. And I know exactly what you mean. Like when you capture something that you, like if I'm looking at the photograph, I can put myself there.
Yeah.
Or I can anticipate almost what they're saying. It's like a movie that you lose yourself completely in. That was one of my questions too. The shooting part, point and click. I'm sure I know more goes into it than that, but. That's editing part, just like movies, it can be really tedious. But what's less fun for you and what's more fun?
I think it depends. You know, if it's a project where I know there's going to be a lot of editing, I will probably aim to enjoy both parts.
Okay.
If it's something like Mile of Music where I'm like, I got thousands of photos to edit here and I know that they're not going to use all of them, I don't pay attention to every single photo with intricate detail, but I still make sure they look good.
Of course,
I don't want to send them junk.
Right. Where can people find out more information if they want to use chicken or the egg photography? I'm assuming you have a website, social medias, stuff like that.
Yeah, so the best place to find me if you want to work with me is my website and use the contact form, or just shoot me an email, chickenortheeggphotography@gmail.com, or text me.
Yeah.
My phone number's on there too. I do not use Instagram. Please, I don't check Instagram.
Okay.
Facebook is pretty big. If you want to follow me, that's a really good place to do that. I get a lot of follows and interaction on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn a little bit.
Okay.
Still breaking the mold on that one, but yeah, between those three, or just talk to your friends, because someone you know knows me. I can almost guarantee it.
Interesting. You know, in one of those articles I read about you, you credited LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I make jokes about LinkedIn, saying six people notice my profile, so long, suckers, you know, but like I'm on it, but I see jobs come up for radio or screenwriting or whatever, but what did it do for you? Because I don't know a whole lot of stories about LinkedIn catapulting someone to fame, you know?
Well, let me tell you. No, it didn't catapult me to fame, but what it did do, it got me a job with a family shoot with someone who works at a pretty big company here in town.
Okay.
And then that was nice. And that was my first job from LinkedIn. And then the second one was the Reed job, the first one I talked about with the bikes.
Yeah.
And that all happened because I tagged the company online on a LinkedIn post. It was after a nice January day. It was like 50 degrees in January, which is unheard of in Wisconsin, yeah. Right? And I went out, I rode the bike, and I took this nice picture. And like a month later, one of their marketing people reached out to me and was like, hey, we really like this. I'm going to pass your name along to our marketing, like head of marketing or something.
Yeah.
And it just kind of blossomed from there.
Wow. And they still didn't throw in a bike.
Well, that's the next job.
All right. I also, in this article I read, you were talking about a photography style. Mm-hmm. Do you have one? Like, if people are in the know in your line of work, oh, Chris Rogowski, he's a... How would they define your style?
A really good photographer? I don't know. I heard it recently, and I was going to make a Facebook post about this, but someone, I was talking to them at Mile, and they said, what I like about your photos is there's this 3D aspect to it. So, you know, there's a foreground, a middle ground, and a background. And you just have this way to make it look natural. And, you know, it's not portraits, it's photojournalism. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, I'm really good at photojournalism. I capture the moment. Cool. You know, I do well at all the other stuff that I do, but I've trained myself to do that stuff. Yeah. Whereas the photojournalism comes naturally.
My guest is Chris Rogowski. He's the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography here in Green Bay, and he is a local musician as well. Should we get to some of your music stuff? Because you do work acoustically by yourself, mm-hmm. or is it by yourself? Because you do have a title, The Finest Foe.
Yeah, The Finest Foe is my own solo project. That's whatever comes to my mind. And then there's Age of Fable, the full band.
And what do you prefer?
Both. My bandmates are listening. I like both.
I hate having to split the check with them at the end of the night. Right. So what kind of music is that?
The Finest Foe is like acoustic, 90s alternative stuff, and covers. And then the full band is a good old rock band, and We Will Melt Your Faces.
Sweet. Progressive rock?
Yeah. Yeah, how'd you know? Because you looked it up.
You said melt your face. It probably is in my subconscious too. But what? Is that all original stuff?
Yeah. So wow. we've got an album out right now. It's going to be we're going back in the studio pretty soon to record some new stuff with the new guys. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's all. We have to play next time you come back.
That'll be fun. Hopefully I'll have it on hand.
I hope so. I know sometimes when a bunch of long hairs get together, sometimes they break up. So.
Yeah, right. Well, we took the dreaded photo and no one's left yet. So
all right, that's good. Chris, what are you watching on TV? You work hard, you edit photos, you shoot photos, you're playing music. When you sit down at the end of the day, what are you watching?
If it's not Lord of the Rings or The Matrix or Batman, it's Egret Sukko.
And that's what you mentioned that during the break.
Yeah, Egret Sukko, and it's a super funny anime. It's on Netflix, but it's just funny. I mean, it's this little like red panda girl who works in accounting and loves to do metal screaming karaoke. And the switch between Egret Sukko and Retzko, I think, is the character's name, and then the screaming guy. It's wonderful.
For someone who I've never really watched anime, and I'm intimidated by it because I don't
so
know. I honestly like animation. Like I watch, you know, The Simpsons, Family Guy, whatever. But what is it about anime that? Why would you tell me to watch it?
Frankly, I watch whatever Melanie puts on.
Is that your better half?
I apparently have a Netflix account and I don't know how to use it.
Okay,
so. It's funny, I'm a tech guy who doesn't use Netflix or anything.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just, whatever she puts on, we watch, and it's usually good.
All right, well, that's good. So she puts it on. If you don't like it, you just space out and
kind of,
say, at least
I eat my pineapple and don't do anything else.
And, you know, Netflix is only like $2,000 a month now, so that's
not
bad. Hey, this was fun. Thank you. It's been great to meet you, Chris, and continued success with all your photography and music. And come back and play sometime and let us know where you're playing, too. We'd love to.
Find me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Chris Rogowski, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, Rob Thomas is here, our favorite Madison-based film critic. We'll talk all things Madison and movies with Rob, and we'll read your texts. Send us a bad breath text. Text it with bad breath. Breathe on the text and send it in. It'll permeate the interwebs. All right. It's Peach Wobbit and Netflix on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can't take my eyes off you.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
Matt Nair on Air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. I think that was like the first song we played, the bumper tune. One of the first ones. Because everything I picked was like, had to have night in it because it was nightlight. But that's when we were on at like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, it's actually, like you said before break, this is Netflix. Not nightlight, it's Netflix.
It's Peach Wobbit and Netflix. I would kill to be Netflix.
Yeah, right.
They own everything. Our question of the night, folks, you still have time to get something in. It's National Fresh Breath Day. What is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Would you do it? Would you ignore it and bear it and just let your eyes well up with tears? What do you do? And our next guest would not know anything about this because he has about the freshest smelling breath I've ever. And I, within 10 feet of the guy, you know he has great breath. And he is also a film critic in Madison. And he is the City Cast of Madison newsletter editor and does fine work there. You can also follow his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. That's a lot of stuff Rob's up to, Conrad.
Yeah,
he's a busy guy. And he joins us now here on Nightlight, as he so often does. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. My breath is fresh down here in Madison.
How do you do that? What's your secret?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think I could tell somebody they had bad breath. I might just suddenly give them like a Mint Oreo or something and try and subtly improve the quality of their aroma.
I've been known to fake an injury and just go down. And then it's like, you know, I take a knee and then they don't know. They're none the wiser. Or a good head fake too can get you out of some bad breath radius. Hey, how are you, Rob? Are you having a good summer so far?
Yeah, the weather's been great down here in Madison after kind of a hot, sticky June and July. Yeah. Usually it's the reverse. So it's been great. Yeah, movie-wise, I feel like we're kind of over the summer movie season. And,
okay.
You know, right, the stuff coming into theaters is kind of low-key, I think. And
right.
Yeah.
Do you have any intention of seeing Naked Gun?
I would love to. I was actually going to go Sunday night, and then it was just so nice out. I went and rode bikes with my daughters, which was awesome.
Oh, it's tough to pass up, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. But watching the original, 1988 movie with Leslie Nielsen in the theater.
Yeah.
One of the great movie experiences. And then I used to watch Agreed. Police Squad on TV or in the early 80s, the TV show. So I'm all in on this. You saw it, right?
Listen, Police Squad ran for like maybe a half a season in the late 80s.
It's like six episodes.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then it made a comeback, but I thought it was gone forever. And I thought it was so like when he looks in the telescope and he says, the microscope, he says, I don't have to look at DNA samples. He says, I don't see anything. Use your open eye, Frank. Oh, stuff like that. And I don't know, like I saw Naked Gun. I don't think they totally captured that. There's some big laughs in this.
Yeah.
But Leslie Nielsen was born to be that guy, whether it was Airplane or Naked Gun, in my opinion.
And, you know, Madison guys, right? Who did Airplane.
The Zuckers,
and
Naked
Gun, Police Squad, the Zucker brothers. So, yeah, there's a although I guess they got kind of froze out of this remake from what I heard. They got paid, but when they wanted to, at least one of them wanted to offer some jokes, they were, you know, it was kind of the bad breath scenario. They were politely turned away.
Bad breath of movie involvement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I read the thing with David Zucker yesterday that said he was developing a script where Drebin's son was in his 30s. This is years ago. So he had a great attitude, I thought. He said, I'm not going to see this movie. I don't need to see it. But I wish the director well. I'm glad comedies are back. He texted the director. I thought he had a very professional response to it. But I kind of get where he's coming from, too.
Yeah, that's nice, I think. But also, you know, I think I understand the need for the new writers and directors to do their own thing rather than lean on those guys. And one of them passed away, Jim Abrams. But
right.
But, you know, every generation gets their own Frank Drebin, I guess.
Exactly. Right? And Neeson's good, but he's like, he's just too much of an ass kicker, I think, you know, and it's like, I don't know. But anyway, there's some good laughs. I'd be curious to know what you think if you ever, decide to check it out. Let's talk about Sketch. You reviewed the film on your Substack. You liked it a lot and you said it was better than like Harold and the Purple Crayon. Tell us about Sketch.
Yeah, it opens, I think it's having sneak previews tonight and then opens wide tomorrow. And when I saw the trailer, I thought, oh, this is like one of those, you know, power of imagination family films and the Harold and the Purple Crayon movie, or there was one called If last year with about imaginary friends with Ryan Reynolds. And they're just so like, I don't know, just so forced whimsy and like, but this one I thought was pretty fun. It was about this girl, probably 10, who is an artist, and she's mourning her mother's passing, and she gets out all her negative emotions by scribbling in her notebook and drawing all these monsters and horrible for a 10-year-old images and stuff. And her dad's cool with it, and like, however it works, however you're processing things, that's great. But then there's like a magic pond, which, you know, most properties have, I think, right? And
it's all how you look at it.
It is. I mean, you know, it's a perk on the real estate list. and all the monsters come to life, and they're all like, they look like they're hand drawn or paper mache and start terrorizing the town. So it reminded me a lot of Gremlins or The Goonies, those kind of 80s movies that, like, they're kids' movies, but like, not for too young kids. They might be a little scary. It moves fast. It's really funny. The adult performances, I think, are great. Tony Hale from Arrested Development plays the dad. And so I thought it was good. Yeah, it was a nice surprise. I'll say that for sure. Yeah.
It's on my list now. And I watched, I don't watch a lot of kids' films anymore, but like,
you recommended Flow, and I watched that and loved it. And this, yeah, this has the same type of feel. Like, I'll probably check this out just because it seems different. And it's getting a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes with like 30 reviews,
crazy,
which is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a fun one.
All right. Rob Thomas is here, folks. We're going to do a quick break for news, and we are coming right back. And he broke down the movie so far this year. We'll talk about that and cool bars in Madison. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Texas Democrats remain away from their state in protest against attempts by the Republican majority in the state legislature to redraw congressional districts. They've been threatened with arrests, CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reports.
Even though Governor Greg Abbott said that he wants to use Texas law enforcement, they really don't have jurisdiction outside of Texas, so they're kind of in this wait-and-see mode.
Violent crime in the U.S. fell 4.5% last year, according to a new FBI report. Murder and non-negligent manslaughter fell nearly 15% in 2024. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Good news for law enforcement, and it comes amidst a slew of very high-profile crimes.
A preventable disaster, that according to a Coast Guard report on the Titan sub that imploded on its way to the Titanic. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Five people were killed in the June 2023 implosion. The Coast Guard Marine Board blames OceanGate's inadequate design, certification, maintenance, and inspection process for the Titan.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, you know, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warner's told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, lows upper 50s to 60. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. A high around 80. Storm chances gradually increase later Wednesday night and on into Thursday. Right now, it's 78 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Oh, you've been on a fast train and it's going off the rail and you can't come back.
Now,
can't come back.
Welcome back, folks. This is Pete Chihuahua and Nightlight. That song, you probably don't know this, Con, was featured in the show The Wire. What I'm very excited about, I think it was the end of season three, there was this great montage they did. And Dan Schaefer is coming on the show next Thursday. We're going to have a special Wire talk because he loves The Wire. Political consultant here at political guru here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, will be here next Tuesday, tomorrow night on the show. Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett will be here in studio, and DeAndre Marie, a local singer-songwriter, will be in the studio as well, singing. So it's kind of a Northeast Wisconsin theme tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Our question tonight in honor of Fresh Breath Day is, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Our pal, local actor Dan Davies says, just a quick question, have you been chewing on your socks? That's a good one.
Have you?
I haven't.
That's good.
Dan has about the freshest breath. Not as fresh as Rob Thomas's breath, who joins us now over the stream from our state's capital in Madison. Rob is a film critic based out of Madison. Follow him at his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, or you can read the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob, as always, you guys had great articles in there. We'll get to some of those. What I want to ask you about first, though, you followed suit, and you're doing like this thing that every film reviewer does. You're recapping the first 7/12 of the year. I love that.
I forgot.
That's so cliche, Rob.
Everybody does the first half. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should have done that. I was on vacation around New Year, 4th of July. So I did the first 7/12, the only 7/12 top 10 list you'll find out there.
And that's what makes you unique. That's why you were such an effective film critic. So let's jump into your list. Hey, first of all, where can I see 40 Acres? You reviewed that on your Substack.
That was in theaters.
Okay.
About 6 weeks ago. I bet it's on video on demand now. I'm not sure though.
I might actually watch that tonight. You gave it such a good review.
That's a good one.
Okay. So let's talk about your movies so far in the first 7/12 of the year of 2025. Number one, you have Black Bag, right?
Yeah. It's close between one and two, but Black Bag is just, I just think that's a perfect movie. I mean, right up my alley, British spy.
Yeah.
Thriller. But like much more about dialogue and performance and character than action. I mean, there's two dinner party scenes in that movie. So it's definitely not a John Wick movie, but you know, Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett, and it's so twisty, but I felt like I could follow it pretty clearly what was going on. The supporting performances are all great. Pierce Brosnan looks like, he's never looked in a movie before, very sort of old,
right,
and cranky, and I really liked him in it. I think that's on Peacock now if people want to watch it. It gets off to a slow start, I would say, which I was hooked, but if you're expecting thrills and spills, you might be a little surprised, but I was locked in the whole time.
It's so great. Like I agree with you, it started slow, but I have so much confidence or faith, I guess you'd say, in the writer. I think it was David Koepp, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I had faith in the writer and in Soderbergh's directing. I'm like, I know this is going to pick up. And it's not like I didn't like it when it was slow. I don't mind a movie that breathes and they kind of gradually get into it. But that was a good one. And then you had Sinners number two, which I might say is my favorite of the year so far, just because it was so cool and different and like on every aspect, like the look of it, the script, the music, the direction, the acting. It was just a masterpiece, I thought.
I agree. Yeah. Like I said, they're close. Like Black Bag is very controlled and precise.
Right.
Whereas like Sinners is taking big, big swings.
Yes. And
a couple of them, towards the end, I wasn't crazy about, which I won't spoil. But,
sure.
But like the way it mixes horror and historical drama, the way you just buy that Michael B. Jordan is two different people, like you just completely buy that.
Yeah.
Like, and both performances are Oscar worthy. And the way it's like, yeah, just so scary, but also thrilling and funny and very thoughtful, I think, about art and music and the way it's co-opted and the way it frees people. Like, it's just so much going on in that movie. Ryan Coogler, you know, should be able to do whatever he wants for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah.
After that. So, yeah. I mean, and those, you know, there's 5/12 left of 2025. So positions may change.
Something could change. You know. Yeah. I want to ask you about one more. You've got it rated really highly at number 3. And I think you just reviewed this recently in your Substack. I did not read that review, but Ephes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a great movie. And I just saw
it. Tell me about that.
I think you'd really like it. It's a baseball movie, but a very different kind of baseball movie. It's set in, I'm going to say like Long Island or New England or something like that in the 90s. And it's these two amateur weekend teams that are playing on this field, which is going to be torn down to build a middle school. And some of the guys are old guys who, you know, this is the height of their athletic career.
Yeah.
Some of the guys are college guys who didn't quite make it, or, you know, former college ball players. And it really is less about the game than about observing all the different characters and their interactions. And it's fantastic. Like
wow.
It's very funny. It's very unusual. Like sometimes you're watching the action in the field. Sometimes you're watching the people watching the action. The camera kind of roves around, and it's just very, you know, a comedy, but also kind of very poignant, I thought, in a way, and very wise. And it didn't really get much of a release. Somebody in town, I think it was a local, the guy who runs the local video store kind of rented a theater and showed it, and that's why I reviewed it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was one of my best of the year. It's weird title. Ephes.
Yeah.
Ephes. I don't, a term I didn't know before, but I guess it's like a pitch that's so slow that it kind of psychs the batter out and they miss it.
They don't know
what to do. Like, well, I could hit this thing, and then somehow sneaks by. Yeah.
I thought that was a changeup, but Ephes must be like tenth power.
That's not described in the movie anyway. Yeah.
F1 is on your list at number 7. My son has seen that, also has seen it twice. And I agree with your review perfectly. The human stuff is pretty basic, you say, but it's such a deeply pleasurable movie to watch with all of the racing. And as you say in your review, you have to see it. You don't want to watch this one on the old black and white.
No, or on your phone. I think.
On your phone,
Even though it's an Apple movie, I think. I saw it with my wife, and then when I was visiting my mom, we saw it because it was the one she wanted to see with Brad Pitt. And
sure,
I'm amazed how they made that movie, because when you realize, like, the way I don't think when I saw it the first time, I realized that they were shooting it on the F1 circuit. So they get the cars and the actors out right before the race and shoot for like 8 minutes and then get them all off. It really makes you feel like you're in the driver's seat and you are, you know, in that world. And I understood a lot more, especially the second time I watched it, about the strategy of it, like how the drivers work together. And
oh yeah.
When you take your pit stops and what tires you use. And it does a really good job of, like, it's not just go fast. It's like there's all these other strategic elements at play. So for me, that's one of those movies that is going to be, I think, really rewatchable just because it's so fun to watch.
Very well said. My guest is Rob Thomas. He's a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out if you haven't already. They do great work. Is there anything else coming up, Rob, in the summer that you're excited to see before we move on from movies?
I'm seeing TV shows that are kind of interesting to me in August, like this new Alien. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen the trailer.
Alien Earth. It looks kind of, it's the guy who did the Fargo TV show, which I love.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what he does with it. It's set on Earth. Well, it's called Alien Earth. Of course, it's set on Earth. And it's sort of more about like the evil corporation that you sort of hear about in the Alien movie. So I'm interested in that. I'm trying to think what else. There's one called, I love the Coen brothers. And one of the Coens has a movie coming out called Honey Don't with Margaret Qualley.
Right.
He made this movie last year called Drive Away Dolls that I did not like.
I didn't like it that much either.
I missed the brother. Missed Ethan badly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a Coen brother, so I'll give it a shot for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so let's move on here. I thought this was great. I stumbled. I was in Madison all week last week, and I stumbled. I went to have breakfast in Middleton at a place called Grace's, and I see the National Mustard Museum across the street, and National Mustard Day was August 2nd. I'm like, this is, serendipitous. So I walked in, and I had Barry Levinson, who was the curator, on the show last week. He was a great guest, knew more about mustard than anybody combined. Why is the National Mustard Museum in Madison, Rob, or Middleton?
It's kind of wild. Like, Barry Levinson, the rumor is that like, he was an attorney in Wisconsin, worked for the state, and was a loved the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if he grew up there or what, but like when they lost the 86 World Series, he was so bereft. He went to the grocery store. And he tells the story that like the mustard was telling him, if you collect us, it will, or something like that. Even though like that, this was 3 years before Field of Dreams. So I'm a little suspicious. But like, and he's just started amassing this collection of mustards, and then had a little exhibition space in Mount Horeb that doubled that in size, and then now has moved to Middleton, and it really is this like destination where you can get like mustards from like all 50 states and 70 different countries, and there's all this like old advertising for old mustard campaigns and promotional videos, and they have a mustard tasting every year where people come and try like super hot mustards and super unusual mustards, and then they have this thing that's like a big street festival where they have obviously mustard brats and hot dogs and stuff. And last weekend I did try, the chocolate shop had a limited edition mustard sundae. Well, it wasn't that bad. It was basically a caramel ice cream with raspberry honey mustard on it, so it was pretty good. It wasn't like a, bright yellow French's mustard.
Right. Yeah, but, we were amazed at all the stuff. He told us that story, too, about how he was staring at the mustard after the Red Sox lost. It was just such a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
So. That's great. And it's a great space, too. It's a really nice, sparkling when you walk in there. It's incredible.
And it's right downtown. Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you, Rob, we're going to do a very short break, and I want to ask you about strip mall bars, because you seem to have an opinion on those. And then also... I ate last week, and we'll get into this after the break, but my son came over from Milwaukee and hung out with me last Saturday. We went to the Tornado Club, and I want to talk to you about that, too. So we'll do that all coming up next. Let's bang a text out here, Con, if we can. How much time we got? We got like 3 minutes to the break? Oh, no, it's coming up. Conrad's got the fist up. That means get to the break. John Murray, our pal John, says we all know better, don't we? Unless it's your old... Oh, wait. No, I got to read. All right. He has another text I have to read first. We'll do that after the break. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term,
That means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabo. We are winding up this Tuesday night with our old pal and Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas. We will read texts from Conrad's mom and our pal John Murray in just a moment, too, to close out the show. But right now we have a few more minutes with Rob. Rob, you did a great, I don't know how you guys do this, but CityCast Madison, you pick great things to talk about that I find interesting. And what is it about a strip mall bar? I read this actually yesterday and I just found it fascinating. What is your take on strip mall bars?
Well, I think, you know, there's something about a strip mall bar. Like you can't put on airs in a bar that's sandwiched in between a laundromat and a Subway, you know,
get your nails done, go right, over for a martini. Right. Yeah.
And then go get your taxes done. And, right. There is this thing in Madison, at least, where these strip malls, you know, away from downtown, which are where a lot of the cool places like the Tarana Room is, for example.
Yeah.
These little strip malls are kind of, they're not dying, but they're sort of just hanging on. And people are moving in and opening these really cool bars. Like there's one called Lola's on the north side of Madison, which is this cool bar where they play vinyl and they have great cocktails. And
yeah.
There's one on the east side called the Muskie. Short for the Musk Lounge. Yeah, where they have great cocktails, nice big space, lots of like parlor games and stuff. And they really become these, you know, community hubs. They're really fun. And in Madison, the sort of the granddaddy of this is Le Tigre, which is this bar in this very unassuming strip mall on the west side, which has been there for like 60 years and is like a time machine. It's like, you know, the waiters all or the bartenders all wear white shirts and ties.
Love it.
Swear when you're in there. They make the most classic cocktails, martinis, Manhattans, and the whole place is La Tigre. The whole place is covered in like, you know, velvet tiger paintings and stuffed tigers and all this kind of stuff. It's great. I mean, it's a must when you come to Madison. So yeah, so I wrote an article about kind of the best strip mall bars in town and kind of what makes them special. And it's pretty cool. I mean,
it's just a great angle to write about. That's why you're good at what you do. Like, I would never think, I should write about bars and strip malls, but my eyes went right to it and I was fascinated by it. So did you ever go to Smokey's when that was still there at
No, I always wanted to.
Same.
They announced they were closing. I was like, I got to go. And then everybody wanted to go before they closed, you know? So
yeah,
I really missed out on that. Those kind of old places, there's another one on the South Side called, Feelers, which is another very old school Madison spot. Yeah, you gotta treasure those before they're gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now you drive by where Smokey's was, and I've walked past that a few times. There are times when I was ambitious where I'd walk from like Midvale or the Target all the way back downtown if I had time to kill, and I walk by Smokey's, and every time I walk by, I'm like, I have to go in there. And I never did, and I'm kicking myself. But that leads me to another place. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Tornado Club. We just had such a fun time there, and it was a great steak, too.
Yeah, a wonderful place downtown. I don't go there enough, but it is a place where, like, when people come to town, you show them off by taking them there. My dad's coming to town next month. I think I'll take him. And, you know, very great cocktails, great steaks. And the secret is, you know, it's pretty pricey, but, like, if you go in after 9, they've got this late night menu in the bar, which is pretty affordable. And you get like a burger or like, you know, mussels and frites or something like that. So, another Madison institution that, that people love. Yeah.
I got lucky because I knew my son was coming to town. I went in there on a Tuesday and I said, can I get, at 8 o'clock, will you still be serving dinner? There's two of us. And she said, no, we're booked up through the weekend. And she said, I can put you on a wait list or something. And she said, name. And I told her my last name. And she goes, from Civic Media?
Whoa.
I was like, I think Civic Media has arrived. She said, you know what? I can get you in the bar if it's just two of you. And Rob, I almost invited my niece Caroline to join us because we were going to meet up with her later. The table was like the size of a quarter, but we didn't care. It was like the greatest food ever. And we just had a blast. It's an old school place. Absolutely loved it.
So I know which name to drop next time I'm there. Yeah. Okay. It's enough.
Rob Thomas with Civic Media. Hey, thank you, buddy. Always fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Anytime. All right. Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, check out his work at CityCast Madison or follow him at Not That Rob Thomas on his Substack and read his reviews. We've got a couple of texts we'll get to here before we sign off for the evening. Conrad's mom says, where is that text, Conrad? Oh, she says, If it's someone I don't know, I won't say anything. But if it's a real close friend, I will let them know nicely. How do you do that? Hey, your breath is really smelly.
Hey, just letting you know, your breath sucks.
Yeah, your mom's so nice. She says, I would want to know, along with that, if I had any food stuck in my teeth. All right, well, that's very well done, Paula. Thank you. Great text. And John Murray, our pal from Madison, is listening. He says, Peter, really enjoying the show tonight. Your guest, Robert, I think he means Chris.
Yes.
He has to mean Chris because his last name was Rogowski. Maybe he thought that was Robert. But he says, your guest, Chris, is one clever dude. Always wanted to be a Playboy photographer in my youth. Join the club, John. Then I switched to regular boring jobs because I'm not enough like Chris. Nice job, Chris. He kept saying Robert. That cracked me up. John says, continues with another text. He says, and there was no internet in my youth. Dang it anyway. Yeah, I feel your pain on that one, John. He says, here's what John would say if he knew someone with bad breath. He said, yo, dog, your breath has the funk of 1,000 jackals. How about a mint or a root canal? You pick. John says, if it's a lady, well, that's a tough one. Indeed, John. Then he says, oh, we all know better, don't we? Unless it's our own lady. Then we know a way to keep dignity intact. You feel me? I feel you, John. And I think, John, he referred to his wife as his old lady the other night.
Old lady.
That's like a bygone. I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah, you don't say old. You say ol.
My old lady. Well, you are saying old lady, even though she might not be old. That's just a phrase. But that's John's old school.
O-L-E. Old lady.
All right, we'll debate this until we're on the air tomorrow night. It's Peach Wava and Nightlife, folks. Thank you to everybody. Thanks for your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Peach Wava saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. California's Gifford Fire near Santa Maria grows to more than 80,000 acres and is 7% contained. At least three people have been injured. CBS's Jason Allen.
Santa Barbara County Fire's Scott Safechuck says dry vegetation has contributed to the fire's explosive growth.
Low humidity, high temperatures, wind influence in alignment with drainages that just allows for a perfect mixture that creates extreme fire behavior.
The smoke that is just hanging in the canyons, not only from this fire, but others across California and Canada, is creating hazardous air quality across the country.
Tribal police say four people have died in a medical transport plane crash on the Navajo Nation in Arizona. There has been a third death related to a Legionnaires outbreak in Harlem, New York. CBS's Dr. John LaPook says the severe form of pneumonia can be inhaled through mist in the air, and 11